Hey, bud.
Hey, Clarence.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. What's with Bud the Recorder?
That's my second account for recording the call.
What kind of software did you find to end up that you're using?
Oh, I'm actually using hardware. I'm pulling from that second computer into a iRiver, actually. So I'm just going out the headphone jack into the iRiver.
Oh, and then you'll dump it back into something later on?
Exactly. I'll just pull it from the iRiver, stick it into Audacity, and have my way with it.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will work. I've done it before. I just want to make sure we have good enough sound quality. That's my one concern, but I think it's going to be fine.
I was going to say, do you want to stop and check it, and then you can call again, or?
No, I've been monitoring it, and I've got a little bit of a hiss in it, but other than that, I think it's okay, and by the time we put it on a loudspeaker, I think that hiss is going to be there anyway, so I think we're all right.
Yeah, you're going to have that nice stuff in the background anyway.
Exactly, so I think we're fine, and you're coming through crystal clear.
Ooh, that's that fancy new Bluetooth headset.
Wow, Christmas was good to you.
It was.
Glad to hear it. How's your admin?
Pardon me?
How's your admin? Last time I talked to you, you were not so happy with them.
Yeah, well, I'm still not so happy, and it's been a running battle, actually, for going on quite a while now, but, you know, I don't know what it... It's funny, because it's such a small school, it's such a small building. Ooh, there was some really nasty feedback.
Yeah, that was bad, but it's gone now.
Okay.
I thought I'd
get caught. I don't know what's going on. It's just, like I said, it's such a small building, but yet it's funny because, of course, any problem is a huge problem, and, you know, things just seem to build up more, I think, in a small staff than anything else.
I'm sorry for that. Very sorry for that. Well, good luck. Are you, well, that's none of my business. No, I'm still here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Clarence?
Oh, you're cutting in and out.
Uh-oh. Okay. Let me hang up. I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Your message will be played back to you.
On this end, I don't know what's up. I hope it's not my fancy phone. It's always you. See, that's usually my line. Yeah, for a while. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just pulled up the questions here. I see you're also sitting here on the questions. So, okay. Uh-oh. Well, with me, that's usually not hard to do. Well, I am Clarence Fish. I am a classroom teacher. I teach grades 7 and 8 at Joseph H. Kerr School, which is a K-12 school with all of about 145 students in it, in the little town of Snow Lake, Manitoba. Snow Lake has about 1,000 people, and is in the central Canadian province of Manitoba. We're about 800 miles north of the Canada-U.S. border, someplace there. Well, Snow Lake is my hometown, actually. I was born and raised here, and I have been back here teaching now for, I think this is my 11th year. I'm getting... Well, I ended up here kind of by accident, actually. I was telling the kids in my class just last week that the last thing on earth I ever wanted to do was be a teacher, and the last place on earth I was ever going to live was Snow Lake. So Snow Lake, it was just, I kind of fell into a job here, and it's turned out to be okay. You know, I've got kids now, and so it's a great place to raise small kids and do all those sorts of things. It is, because even though we live in a small town in the middle of nowhere, we can still be connected to the world. And in a lot of ways, we actually have a lot of advantages, being a small school with a flexible schedule and access to quite a lot of technology. We can do a lot of things, and it really doesn't matter that our geography in many ways is irrelevant. Okay. Okay. Our collaboration started probably, I mean, Barbara and I have known each other professionally for probably 2 years now, and our official collaboration started probably in about in the spring last year sometime, I can't tell you for sure, when I put out a call on my blog that was called Junior High Teacher Seeks Long-Term Relationship. And what I was looking for was a partner someplace in the world who would be willing to work all year long. Because I was interested in moving away from the idea of, a fancy project of some kind that everybody would pour their heart and soul into for about 4 weeks or 5 weeks' time, and then we would quit that and all go back to, you know, the way we're used to doing things. Instead, I wanted to look at doing some kind of a long-term collaboration where international work would become basically business as usual. So we came up with the idea of the Thin Walls Project, and that's what we're currently involved with. What is Thin Walls? Thin Walls is the idea that we are basically trying to make one class out of two classes of kids. The only problem or difficulty, I guess, is that those two classes of kids are about 2,700 miles apart, for from each other. So we are trying to hook our classes together in as many different ways as possible, basically every day all year long, where the kids are working on often assignments in common, or they are using instant messaging, or their blogs, or Skype, or any series of things to basically collaborate. Sometimes they're working in collaborative groups where a couple of kids from Snow Lake and a couple of kids from L.A. will be working together. Sometimes they're just working on the same kind of assignment where they just go back and forth and read each other's work. Sometimes they just write comments to each other on their blogs. So just the idea is that we're trying to say to these kids that even though you are 2,700 miles apart from each other, you can be one class, and you can do the learning that you need to do using the tools that are out there, and everything's free. So that's the idea of Thin Walls. I actually think so. We're using VoiceThread, which is free. We're using Skype, which is free, instant messaging programs, the kids' blogs, their wikis. We have a Flickr account, I guess, and I guess I've paid for that, so there would be your thing that we've paid for. We're thinking of involving Twitter and moving into other things, but everything is free that we've used so far. Yeah, I think it's $29.95. Well, you know, it's pretty well the same these days. Well, it's actually difficult to do that, I guess, because there really is no such thing as a specific day. I mean, so far, we've been at this for a few months, but a specific day might look like, L.A., of course, is 2 hours earlier than we are. So we start school at 9 o'clock, so that's only 7 o'clock in L.A. So often, before school begins, actually for both of us, thank goodness they're early risers in LA, is we will often have some kind of a Skype conversation between Barbara and I, or one of the different teachers, or Jan Booker, their tech, and I ironing out some kind of a problem. Then as the kids come in Snow Lake, often some of the kids anyway will choose for their silent reading period first thing in the morning to go on the computers we have in the classroom. So they might be writing something on their own blog or writing something on the kids' blogs in L.A. Or working on a collaborative assignment that we've got, maybe finishing up a transcript or something like that. And often that's it for the early parts of the day. We tend to make stronger connections later on due to the scheduling that they have in Los Angeles. So it's usually after lunch in Snow Lake and late morning in L.A., where we've scheduled a time period where every single day, if needed, the kids are available for live contact for each other. So like I said earlier, I mean, that contact, depending on what we're doing, that contact might be a chat session using Moodle or Meebo or some other instant messenger program. It might be a live video Skype call between where either the teachers are giving information to the kids, or else the kids are reporting on something that they've been doing to each other. That live contact time might include, basically the kids in each class working on their own assignments, but just small groups of kids gathering around a Skype call or something like that. Later on in the day, often actually in the evenings, is when you'll find the kids in both classes at home doing work on instant messenger programs. They use MSN or Skype now, we're moving over to. You'll often find us in the evenings getting together for planning meetings and things like that, because that's just when it works for us. So a lot of it has to do with the time difference. But really, there is not a typical day, because it all depends on what we're doing. Just as there's really not a typical day in your classroom, you know, we're still learning, too. We're learning what this looks like every single day. It's actually been working phenomenally. We had, actually, the story, as quick as I can, how we got started using instant messenger programs, is the kids were using Moodle. They have a Moodle set up in Los Angeles, and all the kids have Moodle accounts. And the great thing with Moodle, of course, is the kids can chat on Moodle, and everything's recorded. Everything's automatically transcribed. So we were very comfortable using that, because even if the kids were using it on their own time in the evening to collaborate on things, we still had transcripts of everything. And the kids were basically warned of that and told that they would be held account to any misbehavior of any kind in Moodle. Then one night, Barbara and I were chatting on Skype, and I actually was chatting on my desktop computer and had my laptop computer open next to me. And all of a sudden, I have MSN. Basically all the kids in my class have signed up, have added me as a contact to their MSN account. We use it as a homework hotline in the evening, so if the kids need homework help, they can just send me an instant message if I'm online. And while I'm chatting with Barbara, in rolls an instant message. In rolls email from one of the kids in my class saying, here's our transcript, Mr. Fisher. So I looked at this. It was a text document, and it looked like a transcript of a chat. So on I went to MSN, found this kid in my class, and said, okay, what the heck is this? And he proceeded to tell me a story of how they were having trouble with Moodle, couldn't get it to work. It kept kicking them off. So instead, they moved over to MSN all on their own, completed the project that they had to complete, finished their collaboration, and then knowing that we would want to have it, emailed it off to us. And that basically set the stage for everything that followed after that. We made up a code of conduct for instant messenger programs. The kids in both classrooms got the same code of conduct, and we hold them to account for that. And we have had zero, no problems of any kind with it. So it's been working very well for us. Most of the parents actually have been very interested. I know at our end that most of the parents have come in, and often, of course, the parents aren't as tech savvy as the kids are. So the parents come in more with questions about, is this really true? What my kid's telling me that you're able to do this? And after you give them a few stories and show them a few things, they're very impressed. Because what else we're trying to tell the kids and tell the parents is, look, we're teaching you how to use these kids' these tools responsibly. We're giving you a monitored space, and basically we're watching to see what happens. So we've had no troubles from kids, and we've had no troubles from parents. We've had all positive reviews till this point, I guess. I'm not sure whether we posted it someplace or not. It was very, very simple. Like, it was something we basically just whipped up in a very short time, just basically to cover ourselves. I'm looking for it, and I can't find it, actually. Oh, there it is, right there. Here, I'll send it over to you. Yeah, it says waiting for accept. Yeah, it's not very big. It's only 25 kilobytes. It's just a Word document. Hello. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's not much to it. But actually, that's something we're learning as well, is, you know, simpler the better sometimes. Yeah, completely. Because I think that's part of learning to teach in new ways and learning to learn in new ways. Is that's one thing we've told the kids right from the beginning, is, you know, that this is an experiment. We're making this up as we go along. We've told the kids and, of course, each other, you know, that there will be bumps in the road. And basically our job is to anticipate the bumps if we can. And if we can't anticipate them, then solve our way through them. You know, this is a first. So let's, you know, we fully expect there to be troubles. Yeah. yeah. I mean, we've had trouble, and I've written about this on remote access before, and our trouble has been really with the technology. Okay. Our trouble has been with, you know, when the technology gets in the way sometimes. When it doesn't work, then it gets in the way, and it gets in the way of kids learning, and that gets frustrating for them. So we have had troubles, and I assume we will have more as time goes on. But the kids are interested. You know, the kids who have managed to make good contacts and steady contacts, you know, they're beginning to understand how the potential for learning is different. Just with the fact, I mean, even that they have 54 kids in their classroom that they can work with. It just opens up new venues. It opens up more new perspectives for collaboration. I mean, these are kids from a very small town in the middle of no place, and you know, kids from Los Angeles, downtown LA. So they've got very different perspectives on learning and on some of the content that we're looking at. So they've had some interesting things to look at from each other. I'm not sure if they're there yet, but I'm also think that we actually started with more the idea of classmate. We played a little bit of the, you know, getting to know each other game at the beginning of the year, but then we very quickly moved into, you know, wanting to basically force the kids into the idea of, look, this is about learning. This isn't just about, you know, look how nice it is to talk to somebody in Los Angeles. But this is a network that's to be used for learning. It's almost interesting in the way that it's in a way that it's coming back for some of the kids and becoming more personal. Because as they chat more in the evenings and as they talk to each other more about non-school stuff, of course they get to know each other better. So it's almost like they started and are now working their way back to those personal relationships. Okay, here's an assignment. It's coming to you right here. I'm just sending you a link. Okay. So we both, from both classrooms, read the book The Outsiders. Okay? So then what we had the kids do to begin with was just read the book. And what we did is, instead of assigning a whole bunch of questions or anything like that, what we had the kids do was basically just read a response. Okay? So they read two chapters in The Outsiders. It's very nicely divided into 12 chapters. Very handy. We had the kids read two chapters, and then basically for chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, it was just free response. What about it? You know, what catches you? And we talked, of course, in each classroom about the kind of things that you talk about with literature. You know, we talked about characters, we talked about setting, we talked about author's use of language, all those. And then we basically just said, okay, go write something on your blog. And then we also expected the kids to respond on each other's blogs. So write comments, you know, do some response. After that, for the last four sets, we gave them a series of words. Okay? Some of those words were things like friendship, survival, courage, heroism, all those kinds of things. And then we basically said, you know, the same thing. So now that you've read chapter 5 and 6, you need to choose one of these words that fits with that and defend it. Okay? We then had the kids do some chatting about that. So what words have you chosen? Why have you chosen those words? How does it fit? You know, just basically, you would have an in-class discussion. We did some chatting about that. Okay? Then at the end, after the book was finished, after the kids had read the book, what we did is we talked about themes. So what kind of themes are showing up in here? Okay? And what would you be interested in doing some kind of a final project on? Okay? So this is this wiki page now that the kids each basically picked where they wanted to go. Okay? We had to move a few of them around to balance them out, and we did that all, you know, discussing it with them and discussing it over probably about a dozen Skype calls. Got the kids all moved around to where they were, put them into groups, or I guess basically they organized themselves into groups, except for the minor shuffling. Then again, we got them together onto a chat session where the kids had to, if you notice on each wiki page, there it's basically a template. Okay, so what about this theme do you want to do? What kind of representation are you going to be using? And then what's some kind of a timeline? What's some kind of a planning template? So then we basically set them loose and said, okay, you know, away you guys go. You have this time every day where you know your partner will be available to you if you need them. I mean, often it was just research or that kind of thing. We were kind of disappointed in the fact that the kids really chose three things. They chose VoiceThread, they chose Google Presentations, and even there was a couple of groups who chose PowerPoint. Okay. Now, again, coming out of this, if you look at a lot of the final products are not that fabulous, okay, and we'll freely admit that. But what was fabulous and what was the entire purpose behind it was to prove to the kids that the collaboration was possible. Okay? Now, we need to keep in mind, of course, that these kids are also, you know, 12 or 13. So when you're looking at final products, I mean, no, some of them aren't all that great, and they definitely could have been better. But we wanted to prove to them just about the idea of the collaboration. So on the wiki pages, they spent a lot of time in discussion. There was a lot of emails sent back and forth. There was a lot of Skype calls. A lot of chat sessions went into it. So it was just really the idea that we wanted to prove to them that you could do this. Okay? Then at the end, after this was done, the kids all wrote reflective blog posts reflecting on the novel and their final project and talking about, you know, just the use of the tools and all those kinds of things. How did they make out with it? What would they change? So that's really our kind of one of the main things we've done so far. No. Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it has a lot to do really just with the way I teach, too. Like, I am, I'm not a photocopy king of any kind. I really don't believe in worksheets and all those sorts of things. And we spend a lot of time in my classroom just talking about, having conversations. You know, today, for example, with our TED Talks that we're working on, we spent a lot of time talking about design. And talking about presentations, and what are different ways to give presentations, and what would be the effect of that, and what would be the effect of a poorly made PowerPoint presentation on your audience, so all those sorts of things. And I think kids, especially teenagers, they want to talk. They have a voice, and they want to be heard. And so that conversation, I think, is extremely important. And I think what we're trying to support really with Thin Walls is the idea, again, that those conversations can happen, that they are possible even though you're separated by that vast amount of geography, and that even though these kids come from those conversations are possible and they're important, that they be held, so that these kids living in a globalized world that's growing smaller every day, they have to understand the perspective of another person, who's from a completely different world that they inhabit. So that conversation, I think, is vital in a lot of ways. Well, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of these conversations that we should be having revolve around the idea of empowering learners about how do we make this authentic, that the learning of school is a vital national institution. Education changes people's lives, and I think in many ways, we're blowing a vital opportunity because we're working within a system that's structured a certain way, and it's been structured that way for 200 years, and that structure needs to change, and it basically needs to change right from in many ways. When I think of myself as a classroom teacher, it has to change in many ways right from the ground up. Next week we write midterm exams in my classroom, and those are formal sit down single subject area kind of exams. And when I think of a lot of the learning the kids have done, those exams don't encapsulate that. They don't capture a lot of what's been possible in the classroom due to the social idea of learning. And so I think in many ways those exams are really fake in a lot of ways. So I think a lot of those conversations we need to be having revolve around that idea. How can we make this learning more powerful by giving kids opportunities to do things that, might be out on the edge someplace, compared to the way that we usually do things? No, because, well, for one reason, and I mean, don't take this the wrong way at all, the exams are fair, I think. The exams are objective, I think. But they're my exams. I'm fortunate enough, I mean, these aren't provincially mandated exams or anything like that. Like, these are exams from my classroom. I'm right in the town, which, you know, there, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, they're still formal sit-down. They're as objective as I can make them. But even a lot of the questions, like, I found writing those exams are, you know, I'm asking them about learning together, about how does it change learning when we use video games in the classroom. How does it change learning when you can talk to somebody, you know, 2,000 miles away and ask them to help you with your, you know, your essay that you're writing? So even those kinds of things are coming up in the exams themselves. Well, I think it can be replicated, but I think it's important that people recognize the difference between replication and duplication. Okay, the model that we are developing is not something taken and dropped into another set of classrooms, lock, stock, and barrel. And this is something that we are developing over time that fits our context. It fits the time schedule that we have available. It fits the policies that we have available to us, you know, where our kids can use blogs and our kids can use instant messenger programs and where every single one of our kids has internet access at home. So I think the model of a thin-walled classroom is a very valuable one, but people need to recognize the difference between replication and duplication. How do they start? They start with making connections. They start with finding a classroom someplace else that they want to do some work with. Okay? And I would really start with something small. I would start with a project. Okay, to get your feet wet in collaborating with someone at a distance. I would start with something that is high interest for the kids. It's often interesting to start with something that's fairly controversial because then it gets the kids talking, it gets the kids thinking, and it gives the kids a reason to want to learn. If you want the kids to collaborate on grammar worksheets, you're not going to get too far, okay? So find somebody someplace that you want to work with and find something interesting to do, you know, and then the kids will be beaten down the door to talk to each other. No, not at all. And I tell a lot of people wherever I go that I really don't consider myself to be a geek. I like computers. I like the things, the opportunities that they bring us. But if your computer is broken, I probably can't fix it. Because I keep telling the kids in my classroom that I'm not about the machines. You know, I really don't care about the machines. I expect the machines to work. And if they're not working, then I go chase down somebody who will fix them. I mean, I can fix the basics. But I'm certainly not a programmer or anything by any stretch of the imagination. I'm interested in providing opportunities for kids, you know, to learn with others using these tools. So it's not about geekiness. It's about being a teacher, you know, and recognizing that kids learn better or learn differently when they're given these opportunities. Well, I started off the year with 4 desktops. 2 of them have since died. I've got one newer one now, actually one brand new one, I guess, that I got to replace one of the dead ones. So I've got three computers in the classroom, three desktops, but the thing in our building, I guess, compared to lots of different other buildings, is kids are allowed to bring their computers from home. So many days I will have up to 8 kids out of a classroom of 23, their own laptops from home, and they bring them in. So that obviously provides quite a difference. Yes, they do. They have wireless right in the classroom. Yes, sir. Oh, no, not by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, we do get down to the computer labs fairly often, you know, every couple of days for sure. But it's, you know, even at that, you know, the kids, you know, they can get their desks. Well, we've got a few desks and we've got a few tables. I mean, we kind of got a smattering of everything in my classroom. And the thing is that there's not computer time. Right, it's free flowing. It's open. The kids might be doing something in a. We're finishing up a unit about ancient Egypt, for example, in our social studies. You know, a kid needs a piece of information for something, and off they go to the back of the room to the computers. Okay, it's they're occupied most of the day, 70 to 75% of the day. Those machines are probably running. Sometimes a kid will sit down at one of them and be there for an hour. Sometimes a kid will sit down at a computer and be there for 5 minutes if they need a specific piece of information. So, you know, it all kind of depends what we're doing. Completely. 100%. It's a channel as well. And that's getting to be more important in my mind. Well, it's the idea that it's a pipe, okay? That I wrote a blog post about this not that long ago, how I used to really dream of having, you know, 20 brand new white iBooks in my classroom and all the kids would sit behind them and, you know, we could take pretty pictures of them. You know, last week when I was looking around my classroom, we had kids banging away on a couple of old desktops at the back of the room. A few of the kids had brought in their laptops from home, so, you know, we had a Toshiba, we had a Dell, we had a whatever kicking around the room. One of the kids, actually two of the kids, got iPod Touches for Christmas, so they had wireless internet access. So they were using those to finish something up. You know, kids digging in textbooks, library books, whatever we had. And as I looked around, it really made me realize about the idea that, you know, it really doesn't matter what the machine is. The idea is that the machine is a pipe. It lets us out to information. It lets other people into our classroom. It lets us get out beyond our four walls. Okay? And that's what's important. Okay? It's important that it provides us access to information and provides us access to people around the world. So it's a pipe. It's a point of contact with the world. It's a window. And I ramble on far too long anyway. Yeah. I'm just jumping back to the questions here now. What else do I want to say? guess really, I guess one thing that we really haven't talked about, well, I mean, we've talked about it some, but just to, you know, to emphasize again that idea of it is different, and that's okay. You know, that it's, we have to relearn how to teach. We have to relearn our pedagogy. It's a different kind of teaching, with having kids fill out online worksheets or all these kinds of things. But it's about, you know, giving kids access to information and having them become creators of information and legitimate voices as much as any adult is. So I think that's really important, that idea of relearning our pedagogy in a lot of ways, so that we allow kids, you know, it's almost a dangerous word in a lot of ways, you know, allow kids some freedom, you know, to learn some things that they're interested in and maybe take a different tack than we would have, and, you know, let them be legitimate voices on their own, because they have that ability. You know, we need to monitor, and we need to watch, and we need to keep them safe. But, you know, let them disagree with you, and that's okay. You know, that's not a problem. So, that's probably my last rant. I think she would. I think we both agree with the idea that, you know, that, you know, kids are finding information out there, and kids are accessing all of this stuff without us. You know, so our job really is to, you know, teach them to be careful, teach them to be responsible, but teach them to be forceful voices of their own. You know, that they are legitimate voices, and let's teach them that early so that they have that responsibility. Oh, yeah, sure. No, that's fine. I mean, as long as I don't sound like a rambling idiot. Oh, that sounds excellent. Actually, it sounds really exciting. You guys are really doing some interesting stuff. I mean, EduCon, I'm interested to see what comes out of there this weekend. But I think you guys have a valuable conversation going. You know, it looks like there's going to be some interesting stuff come out of what you guys have done. Ha ha ha. not a problem. And if you need anything else, just give me a shout, or if you need some more pictures or anything like that, or, you know, we'll deal with it. Sure. Yeah. Be interesting to see the final copy. All right. Well, you take care. I don't know. I really don't know. I have to go to BLC in Boston. Well, I get to, I guess. Yeah, I should do that. So I don't know if I'm doing, I still don't know if I'm doing neck or not. That's where I am right now. All right. Okay, thanks.